Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guest will provide advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. And some of our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, comedians, casting directors, and the list goes on and on and on and on. So if they are working professionally in show business, we're going to have them on the show to give you entertainment career advice. And we make sure that our guests are at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. Now, you can download any of our past shows by going to our archive page on the latalkradio.com website. So just go to the website, click on Channel 1, there's a link, and then a drop-down box appears. Click on Question Reality, and this is going to take you directly to our archive page. And our shows are also available to listen to for free on the iTunes website under the podcast section, and we're also on Stitcher.com. So just type Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there we are. Now, if you want to find out about our future guest, you're going to have to go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. And that's where you can see all of our guests. We are always booked 6 months to a year in advance. If you are working professionally and you want to come on, promote your projects, and also provide us with some career advice for our young whippersnappers tuning in, how to get in the biz, please send us an email, and we would love to consider you for coming on the show. And I encourage you to download our new free app for Android or iPhone, and that's going to allow you to be able to listen to any of our other exciting and informative shows that is on LA Talk Radio as well. So to download the app, go to the homepage of the latalkradio.com website, and the app is located at the bottom of the page on the right-hand side. So get that app. That app is very, very important. Now, apparently, today is Super Bowl 50. Now, not being a big sports fan, however, I do watch a lot of tennis, the Olympics, and my recent obsession, American Ninja Warrior. Oh, my God, I love that show. Speaking of that show, we just won the America versus the World. So, yay, America Ninjas. Mount Midoriyama. That's a mouthful. Mount Midoriyama conquered in an epic finale. One athlete rose above all the others to claim this $1 million prize in the title of American Ninja Warrior. If you're watching it, you know it was Isaac Caldero. And he toppled it. He got to Mount Midoriyama. It was absolutely titillating. I loved it. Oh, American Ninja Warrior. Can't wait for it to come back. Now, speaking of the Super Bowl, I have to throw this in. Tonight, after the Super Bowl, my very good friend, Ted Shred, who is a fire manipulator, Ted Shred is going to make an appearance on the Super Bowl special edition of the Late Late Show with James Corden on CBS at 8:30 West Coast time. 11:30 East Coast time. And he's part of the shows, the halftime, you know, they do all those weird things at the halftime show. And Ted, as he always does, he's going to be eating and breathing fire for the show. And he said it's been such a busy week on the set of The Late Show with James Corden. They are gearing up this Super Bowl special. This show is going to be hot. And it's a star-studded lineup of guests. Cindy Crawford is going to be on. My fantasy man, the love of my life, and the only one I would trade my husband for, Zac Efron, is going to be on there. My God, he is so titillating and amazing and yummy. He's a yummo. Andrew Kendrick's going to be there. And also Sir Elton John is going to be on there tonight. So tonight. And I told Ted, my friend Ted Shred, I said, I wish I would have known in advance that he was going to be on The Late Late Show with James Corden, because I would have made a special request for him to accidentally cinch off a little piece of hair from Zac Efron's head for me. Yeah, I would have definitely done it. He could just sit a little fire over Zac Efron's way for me. But unfortunately, I just found out from Ted today he's going to be on the show. So no hair for me from Zac Efron this time, but he's not getting away. Lastly, I wanted to remind those of you who love and look forward to Valentine's Day as much as I do. It's right around the corner next Sunday. So don't forget to get the little card, some flowers, and some C's dark chocolate almonds, my absolute favorite. Hint to Albert. Get me some damn C's dark chocolate almonds and a bottle of Wild Turkey whiskey. We'll be good to go. But plan a little romantic getaway for your significant other. They will certainly appreciate it. And even if they say it's not a big deal, it's just another holiday, you know they want something. You know they want something. Just get it. Now, I know some of you people are with others that complain about Valentine's Day as just being one big corporate ripoff. So to those of you who actually stay with these pessimistic people, I want to wish you a little happy Valentine's Day in advance and tell you to just treat your damn self. Pamper yourself on Valentine's Day. Everybody deserves to feel special every day, but especially on Valentine's Day. So charge those damn credit cards up. And if he or she complains, say, well, you know what? You could have gone to the 99-cent store and got me a damn plastic flower, but you didn't. So now I've got a dozen that are going to die in a couple of days, and they cost $400. So there you go. That'll teach them next time. Make sure they get you something in advance. Now, so enough about Valentine's Day. Let's catch up on what's been going on since the new year. I want to do something a little different this year. I want to hear from everyone, all of my listeners out there, all of the fans of the show. I want to hear from all of you about what your New Year's resolutions were and how you're coming along. Now, I don't call them New Year's resolutions. I like to call them my annual NIGOs. NIGOs, New Year's Goals and Objectives, because I usually, I don't even attempt one of them. I write it on there and I say, oh, hell no, I just can't do it. So what I do is I just put it on my NIGO for the next year and I just carry it over. So please send me an email with your 2016 New Year's resolutions or NIGOs, and I will give you a shout out on the radio show. And if you want to continue, we can all continue to inspire each other until the end of the year to see how many of us can actually make one little goal that we set for ourselves. So send those emails to PriscillaLeona@yahoo.com. PriscillaLeona@yahoo.com, and we will do it. All right. Woo! Okay, so that's the end of that. I'm so excited for the guests that we have on the show today. Every week I'm excited because I have really good guests coming on the show. But especially excited when my darling Michael Stover from MTS Management Group, one of my favorite PR guys, you know, most of my guests are booked by PR agents. And Michael just brings me little special people all the time. And he booked this wonderful lady. Her name is Dr. Christabel Llewellyn, and she is the founder of Kinder Jazz. And when you hear Kinder Jazz, you go, what is that? Is that some sort of exercise thing? Is that like some sort of a new fad to work off one of our thunder thighs? No, it is not. It is not. I want you to go to the website right now. It's kinderjazz.com, KINDERJAZZ.com. They're also on Facebook under Kinder Jazz and Twitter under Kinder Jazz. And I am just going to tell you just a little bit, and then we're going to talk to, I'm going to call her the doctor. We're going to talk to her in a moment. But basically, Kinder Jazz is the big swing band for little kids. You go, what? What in the heck is that? Okay, Kinder Jazz is a 12-piece fully acoustic swing orchestra. And they opened Manly Jazz Festival back in 1998. And since then, they performed at the Sydney Opera House, Daring Harbor, the Teddy Bears Picnic at Parramatta Stadium to more than 10,000 families. Carols in the Main 2000 on Channel 7, Stadium Australia, and many, 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 many major venues around NSW. And like all good music, it spans all generations. They've got something for everyone. Now, Dr. Llewellyn is herself a professional pianist, conductor, and music educator, and also a consultant to HSC music students, the Sydney Opera House, Baby Proms, and the City of Sydney. Now, get this. Are you ready? This lady was mentored by, okay, ready, Isadore Goodman and Leonard Bernstein. Oh my gosh, I wish Albert was here to give me the applause meter. He's not here. We're doing a show remotely because the doctor, I like to call her, she is in Australia, so I can't have my applause meter, but I'm going to go, yay, yay, yay. Any wonder she has like a burning desire to pass her knowledge forward, and we are going to hear today. So without further ado, let's talk to Doctor. The doctor is in the house. Dr. Christabel Llewellyn. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Priscilla. It's exciting.
Well, it is very exciting because I can actually hear you. You're so crystal clear, even though you're in Australia. I've done interviews with some people who are like a mile away, and they're all fuzzy, and they sound like they're in Tahiti. So I don't know what you're doing, but my goodness, you got to pass the tips on. What do you have for your provider, your internet provider? My God, that's crystal clear.
That's great.
Wow. Now, you're the founder of Kinder Jazz. So let's start out with finding out. You were mentored. I want to get to this right away. Now, you were mentored by two of the greatest musicians in the business, Isadore Goodman and Leonard Bernstein. Tell us, how did this come to happen?
Isadore Goodman was obviously, you know, the Russian Jewish concert pianist that came to Australia with his mother, and he started the very first ABC orchestra in Australia in 1952, I think. And he also taught children piano. He was at the conservatorium, and I was one of his students. I remember going to the town hall, and the Sydney Opera House wasn't even built yet. This is in the 70s. And he was doing an afternoon show, a performance at the Sydney Town Hall, and I happened to be playing something in the evening, and so I was on the piano, and he gave me his number, and he asked me to get my mum to call him. And my mother was a huge fan, so she was like weak at the knees that, you know, she had Isadore Goodman's number, and of course, you know, she rang straight away, and, you know, ingratiated herself so that, wow, I could actually get in. But what was really interesting is that I had to audition because he only taught at the City Conservatorium, and their rules were, you know, they couldn't just let anyone in. You had, you know, if you were going to be one of his students, he had to audition. So I did audition, and Alexander Helmanitsky was in the audience, and he just took one look at me and decided that he was going to have me as a student, not Isadore. And apparently they were really, you know, good rivals, but very, very firm friends. And they actually, I don't know whether the story's true, but he told it to me many times, and they actually played a game of chess to determine who was going to get me.
I love it! If you're going to be, oh my God, if you're going to be playing the game, my God, you'd want to be won by Isadore Goodman.
Yes, he was just amazing, absolutely amazing in every way. Wonderful, wonderful sense of humor. He just told me anecdotes of, you know, he just, the thing with him is he just engaged my imagination so much in everything that he did. I wanted to be, you know, learning from him. I wanted to look up the music that he wanted me to listen to. I wanted to learn my pieces. I practiced more than anything, you know, when I was with him. So, yeah, it was that relationship. And I think every good teacher has that, where you just inspire people.
Exactly. I would hope so. Now, speaking of mothers, my mother got the opportunity through one of her friends to see Leonard Bernstein at some sort of a world peace speech at John Hopkins in 1980. And she just said it was one of the greatest moments of her life, and it had such an impact on her outlook at life at the time. How did your relationship form with Leonard Bernstein?
I was in London, and he had come to the Royal College of Music, and basically he asked me what was I doing in the summer, and he had come to record the BBC's documentary with Herbert von Karajan, who was the conductor of the Berlin Philharmonic, and he because I wasn't doing anything, I was from Australia, I wasn't doing anything for the holidays, I ended up going with him, and we kept in touch. He was 70 at the time.
Wow.
Incredible. And he actually organized for me, you know, he was telling me so much. He wasn't telling me anything about my playing, but he was telling me so much about music and how it affects your brain. And in those days, I mean, he had been doing lectures at Harvard on this since the 50s. Yeah, he was teaching children since the 50s. He really believed in nurturing a child and children. He really believed that children could learn faster than any adult. And that's, you know, when they were small, that's when you needed to teach them properly and not dumb anything down. And so much of what I do has been influenced by him, and he's still in my head. You know, when I teach, the things that he says, and he was never short of words.
Right, but now, was that one of his famous master classes at Tanglewood that you took a class at?
No. It was at the Royal College of Music in London.
Oh, it was in London. Oh, that's
yes,
right.
And he had specially come. I think Humphrey Burton, who was the head of music for the BBC, had invited him, and they were going to do a special documentary, and that's how he came to London. And I just happened to be there, at the right place at the right time, you know. And we connected, and I kept saying, you know, say something. I was telling myself in my head, you know, I didn't say it out loud. I was saying, like, say something about my playing, but he didn't. He was saying, like, with a mind like yours, you should be studying, you know, music and how it affects, you know, education and music in the brain. And that's really, you know, what I've been studying ever since.
Oh, my gosh. Leonard Bernstein, one of the greatest men on the planet.
Yes.
Hopefully everybody knows who Leonard Bernstein is. If it isn't, you better Google him right now. Now
there'll
let me
never
ask
be
you,
another one.
Never, never. Oh, West Side Story. Yay. What would you say is the mission statement of Kinder Jazz?
We want to empower children through a live big band. To be able to use their imagination, to nurture their creativity, to gratify their just their curiosity in every way. You know, we think that a big band will do that.
When and why did you form Kinder Jazz? I mean, other than what you just said, were there, you know, what inspired you?
The co-founder of Kinder Jazz with my husband, David Llewellyn. And he was, he went to college as well, became a professional trumpet player. He'd always loved big bands. And when we had our first child, Stephanie, we wanted to take her to live music. Both of us had chosen music as a career. This is what we do every day. And we wanted our children you know, to have that excitement and joy of live music and good quality live music. So we took her to a children's show, and she kept putting her hands over her ears and running out of the room. It was awful, and there was nothing live about it. It was a backing tape. People were miming. You couldn't even see a face. There were fluffy characters, you know, in costumes. It was not that fluffy characters are poor quality, but this particular thing was the music just was non-existent. And we were searching for live music, and we thought it's not just for our children, it's actually the whole generation that's missing out on live music. And this is where you form your tastes for life, you know, in the first 7 years. So we thought that was an important enough thing to do. And so we did something about it. We filled that need with Kinder Jazz.
Now, what's the origin of that name? Is it just because, you know, kindergarten or
Kinder is the word for child. So it's children's jazz, but it's not really children's jazz. It's actually quite sophisticated music, but it's jazz for children. That's really what it is. It's a universal name. I suppose Kinder is German, but, you know, we use the word kindergarten.
It works. It rolls off the tongue.
Yes.
It's a good branding.
Yes.
Now, you're obviously passionately committed to bringing the magical world of music and its instruments to children of all ages. How are you making that a reality with this band, Kinder Jazz?
We perform live. We go into schools. We go to festivals where we've recorded live albums and seven of them. Now,
wow.
Our latest is called Teddy Bear's Picnic, and it's all original music, and it's written for our band to play to a children's audience. They're not children playing; it's adult jazz musicians, you know, the best of the best. Each chair in Kinder Jazz is a virtuoso. They've all got their own bands. They all do other things, but they only come together to play to children, and I think that's pretty magnificent.
Oh my gosh, that really is. I mean, I obviously you're the founder, but how do you get 12 people to get? Do you write all the songs, or is it a collaborative effort?
David writes all the songs and all the lyrics.
Oh, your husband, David. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. And I bet it's something to get 12 people together who obviously have either day jobs or they're in other bands. How do you do that? What is the secret to organizing such a big band to do these things?
I've actually spoken to Sue Mingus about this. And she refers to it as adult daycare.
Oh, well, yeah.
But it's not. I mean, the musicians in Kinder Jazz are really amazing. We've grown up together. We've had, you know, every single one of us is a parent now. So we've known each other's children. Our children have grown up with this band. We really want to be together. That's basically it. I mean, to keep a band live, you know, 12-piece band together in any genre for almost 20 years is a huge feat. But I think it's
the music. 20 years! 20 years!
Yes!
That's unheard of! Except for
the Who
and Mick Jagger, my God. Whatever.
Yes.
That is impossible because usually, you know, you get into fights, you know, there's all kinds of craziness happening. What is the secret? No, come on, you got to tell. For all these people that want to put bands together, give me three pieces of advice that you think are keeping your band together.
The most important thing is choose the right people. And then you don't have to micromanage. You don't have to worry about anything because they're on the same wavelength, and you know they want to help you.
But everybody thinks that the people they choose in any band are the right people. How do you really know?
I think because I've been teaching and I've been in the music business for so long. We know who's around, and we get recommendations as well. I knew who I wanted in the band, and David knew who he wanted with the band, and we just chose the right ones. We went for the best quality, so the best of the best, you know, the real professionals who will just turn up and do it, And also my criteria was they had to enjoy children. They had to be able to relate to children. And we're very, very fortunate.
Yeah, 20 years. I mean, because people can be gifted technically on an instrument, and you could go, oh my God, that's like the greatest piano player ever. But then there might be some personality conflicts, you know, they could have like their little quirk. So it's very hard to keep a band together. So you should get an Oscar just for that. There should be some kind of an award you get to keeping a band together for 20 years. We have a song that we're actually going to play right now, but it's called Baby Loves to Cha-Cha. So I would love to, I would love for you to intro the song. What was the reason for writing it? Or is there a little story of what it's about? Can you tell us that?
Oh, there's a wonderful story. Stephanie, who was our eldest, and she's now 24, she used to be taken to every single band rehearsal. She was hearing music in the womb. Her very first word was cha-cha.
Ah.
Because we'd taken her as a one-year-old, or, you know, 7 months old, we'd taken her to a Latin big band. And she loved it. She couldn't sleep, you know, because she was so excited.
Wow.
With all the rhythms, and it happened to be a Cuban band. Mm-hmm. And she just was smiling and smiling. And she eventually went to sleep, but she woke up in the middle of the night and said, cha-cha, with a big smile.
Wow.
She wanted more.
Before she said mama or dada, she said cha-cha. Wow, that's a great story. Now, what about the let's give credit to everybody who's in the band. So real quick, if you could name the person in the band and what their instrument is.
Okay, we've got Jessica O'Donoghue, who's our female singer, George Washing Machine, who's our male lead vocalist. Then we've got on piano Kevin Hunt. We've got double bass is David Groves, congas is Iko Akriff and all our Latin percussion, drums is Martin Highland. We've got three saxophones, Vanessa Patterson, Jason Morford, who's our tenor saxophone player, Glenn Henrich, alto saxophone, then trumpet Al Davey, second trumpet Mike Kenny, and trombone Mark Barnsley.
Wow. I didn't think you were going to actually get through that. Yeah, well, 20 years, you better know something, right? Wow. Well, we are going to hear this wonderful song written by David Llewellyn, correct? David wrote
it? Yes.
Yes. David Llewellyn. Wait a minute. We didn't mention you. Are you not playing any, are you not playing anything in the band?
No, I'm managing the band, so I'm off stage while they're on stage, because I felt like I just couldn't do both.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't be at the piano. You miss out on so much
stuff. Oh, my God. I would have had to call you Dr. Wonder Woman, Christabel Llewellyn, because that would have been crazy with you playing and managing. So that
we started doing that, and then just didn't work. A manager has to be off stage managing.
So
there's a whole library. There's so many millions of things that a manager has to do,
That might be a tip. That might be one of the reasons why it stayed together for 20 years. Because, you know, when you try to do the instrument and manage at the same time, it's just chaos.
And also, I feed them.
You what?
I feed them. I like cooking. When we did the Opera House, we sold out 30 shows, and I cooked them. Every single day I cook them.
Now I know. Now you've given away your secret, Dr. Llewellyn. It's your cooking that's keeping that band together too, right? You must be.
I'm writing a book at the moment on for parents on special needs children and how music, you know, you can use music as a toolbox to develop their brains and get them engaged in learning. And as soon as I told the band I was writing a book, they all said cookbook.
Cookbook, right? Kinder Jazz Kibbles and Bits. Love it. tried it. I've already heard the song. This is the cutest song ever. And after hearing it, you're going to run to iTunes, which I'm assuming that it's on iTunes.
Yes.
Run to iTunes and buy it. So without further ado, let's listen to Kender Jazz's Baby Loves to Cha-Cha, written by David Llewellyn. Take it away, Roni.
A smiling and calls out my name, calls out my name. Oh, it's 3 in the morning. He calls out my name, calls out my name. Oh, my baby.
Such a lovely voice. She's actually opera trained, believe it or not, but her dad was a jazz, or still is, an absolutely amazing jazz guitarist. And so she's got those both sides to her.
Wow. Oh, my God. Well, you know what? I'm excited that we got to play that song, but what I'm more excited about is that people can actually download Kender Jazz's children's songs on MP3 via iTunes, right?
Yes, and what's really cool about iTunes, I don't know if you know this, but you can actually download it and gift it to somebody now.
Yeah.
If you know a mum who's, you know, going through tough times or anything, this is going to give her joy.
Right. Now, was I wrong in reading that it's on your website? It says we have free MP3 downloads of Kids Song. Is that true? Are they free? Or
yes, we've got a couple of free ones. Yes.
Free! Woo! My favorite four-letter word. Free, free, free. So go, everybody, go now to iTunes and either get your free song, but you know you should pay a little something. Buy one. Buy one, get one free. I love it. Oh, I just came up with that. So buy one and then you can take one free. Go to iTunes now and listen to them. I bet there's so many fun songs on there. Oh, very exciting. And they're all original and they were all written by David Llewellyn. But this band sounds really good. I love those little congas in there. That sounds nice. Now, so everybody go now to iTunes and just type in Kender Jazz, right?
Yes, yes. And it's on CD Baby. It's on Spotify. It's on everything. Amazon.
Oh, good.
You name it.
Your favorite favorite venue, and you can get Kinder Jazz sauce. Now, obviously, Dr. Llewellyn, exposing children to music at a young age, you know, my mom, she's an OBGYN, so, you know, she's all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, obviously, exposing to children to music at a young age can inspire, it motivates your child to learn an instrument, just to kind of get them involved with music. But I had somebody send me an email and say, what if your child is absolutely resistant? She said she thinks there's something wrong. No, oh, this is Sue from Boston, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And she said that her child is absolutely resistant. Now, I don't know. I've never heard of that, Sue. I don't know. We might have a problem now. But my question to you from her to you is, do you continue to try periodically or be content that music may not be strong moting? Okay, let me translate that because she messed up on there. Okay. Do I try to continue periodically or be content that music may not be a strong motivating factor for my daughter?
I would question what music she's actually exposing her child
yes.
to, and how have they ever been to live music? Because I've seen festivals where as soon as there's a beat, or even television, you know, ads, advertisements, as soon as there's a beat, a toddler will jump up and down, guaranteed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely guaranteed, unless there's something physically wrong with, you know, their cognitive ability, or, you know, their
yeah.
deaf. If they can hear it, they're going to move their bodies.
Right, and we don't know. She didn't put enough information. We don't know how old the child is.
I would, yeah. You know, I would take them to
An
orchestra.
Yeah.
You know, because children aren't, you know, they're unique.
Right.
And they're magnificent. They don't like just one thing. I remember, I'll tell you a story about Miles, my son. I started them all on violin, thinking, that's a good instrument. It'll train their ear and all of that. The girls loved it. He was 4 years old, and he cried at the first lesson.
Oh!
And I was like, oh, no, like he's just shy, or he doesn't want to do it, or, you know, it's all too hard. He's only little. He's 4 years old. It was Suzuki violin, you know, a brilliant teacher, and he cried. And you know what he did? We went into the house and from the car, and the car was parked in the driveway, and I said, oh, where's Miles's violin? And you know where he'd put it? At age 4, he'd put it behind the wheel of the car. In the hoping that I'd run it over.
Oh, at 4
I got a message.
He was already plotting with that guy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that is the funniest thing I've ever heard. I have never heard of a child being that smart.
And, you know, he became a drummer.
Well, see, he likes to bang things and beat them up.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, you claim that children can comprehend music at as early as 4 months in the womb. Can you tell
yes.
us, you know, where you get your facts, research, you know, tell us more about that.
Dr. Alfred Tomatis, who was an ENT specialist, ear, nose and throat specialist, used fiber optic cameras, and he in the womb to hear a fetus, and he determined that they were capable of hearing and responding to sounds of language. And this means that babies are absorbing sounds and rhythms of their native language from as early as 5 months. And really now they know with fMRIs and EEG machines, you know, all the really sophisticated technology that they have, that it's day 45 in utero that children start hearing. And that is the first part of your brain that's fully functional, your auditory processing system. And it's connected to all your central nervous system, so that's the first part of your brain that's fully functional. Your eyes don't work till 7.5 months later, you know, even after you're born, and even then it's a bit fuzzy. But nature knows that hearing is really, really important. We've got glasses for you know, eyes, but no one actually tests whether it's not the hearing. It's the processing speed that's important in children's learning. And if that and how healthy that is determines whether you can learn or not.
Wow. That is amazing. I never even thought of that. What are some of the many ways that children can benefit from being exposed to music in the womb, infancy, or as a young child? Like, how can it make a difference to their future? Like, what are some significant, obvious, maybe some less obvious things?
I think parents just, you know, playing music, singing, you know, listening to a lot of classical music, because that's the higher frequencies that are really important in their development. You know, I don't think that you should ever put speakers on your tummy, because inside is really loud and that could damage their hearing. They hear really well and they can actually hear who's in the house, you know.
Wow.
Every member of the family, they can actually identify at day 45 in utero when nothing else is functioning, but their hearing is absolutely superb.
Yeah, so don't argue with your husband or wife, because they can hear it.
They can hear everything, yeah.
I never thought about that. That can create some psychological problems.
What's really interesting is that music doesn't go through your intellect. You know, you can have an IQ of 200 like Einstein, or you could have an IQ of 50, but you can still hear the same D major chord. Music goes through your feelings first.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. Everybody's got those.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, that's for sure. I don't know. Ted Bundy. Okay. Now, music obviously is our universal language. And you had said in something I read, I can't remember what it was, but you said that it should be eroded by technology and that it needs no explanation and can only thrive on human involvement. So now some would argue that adding technology to music has caused a great advancement, especially to the musical genre electronica. So what are your thoughts on this type of music, of adding technology to the music?
I think if, you know, when you've got music inside you and that listening has happened, you know, you've listened to enough music, it comes out in whatever genre, whatever medium you choose. But when you haven't listened to music and only use screens, that's the problem. You know, you talk to any teacher that's been teaching for a number of years and they'll say children today are different to children 20 years ago when they didn't have all those screens and iPads and phones and they were looking at a small screen all the time. They can't sit still, for one. Children, you know, literally can't sit still and they can't focus. Their attention spans are really short. They haven't got any core strength. You know, they can't stand for very long. They're used to be sitting all the time. They're indoors all the time. They've got no perspective of you know, the horizon, because they're never outdoors. They're always inside, or they're, you know, taken in cars everywhere.
Right.
Music is a multi-sensory experience. For instance, when we were at the Opera House, there were five little boys. They must have been about 4 years old, in front of the horn section. They stood in front of the horn section. So the heads, you know, the musicians were sitting down on chairs, and so the heads were right in the bell of the horns.
Wow.
And they'd closed their eyes, all five of them, they'd closed their eyes, and they were putting their hands out, opened their palms, little palms, and they were feeling the horns hit them in the face.
Oh.
And
wow.
We forget that music is physical. It moves. Something has to move to make a sound.
Right.
And you know, those beautiful brass instruments, they hit you in the face. And, it's processed through your bone structure and everything vibrates and it sends information to your brain. It's a multi-sensory experience. You can't get that from technology.
Well, you know, my husband and I frequently talk about how we have noticed that over the decades, they have almost virtually eliminated guitar solos and piano solos. Like when you listen to Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and stuff from the 70s, even the Beatles, I mean, there were so many dynamics, and they would take long solos. Songs were like 5-6 minutes long, right? But we didn't mind because it would take you on a journey. And yes. Now I don't even hear, I mean, the music of today, I don't even hear guitars, let alone any solos. Why is that, do you think?
People have lost their attention span, and I think it's really sad. You know, they've recently done a survey of teenagers where they took away their mobile devices, you know, their cell phones, for 24 hours. So they weren't allowed any technology for 24 hours, and only 2 out of 100 survived.
What?
They were almost like 60-something% were almost suicidal after 8 hours.
Oh.
And 100% of them went straight onto their phones as soon as the 24 hours was up. Some of them tried to sleep, and they couldn't actually sleep without having a device in their hand.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know
They couldn't read. They literally couldn't self-motivate.
Wow. I don't know what that means, Dr. Llewellyn, for our future, but I'm just so happy that the jazz musicians still keep playing and people still get out there and find an instrument to play. I fear that eventually music is going to be eliminated in 100, 200 years. They're already cutting the music programs. I mean, that is a horrible thought, but I don't know what we can do. But at least with Kinder Jazz, we're keeping it alive. So I wanted to thank you so much for doing what you do. What have you guys, we're going to wrap the show up, but what have you guys got planned for the future? Anything exciting happening in the next couple weeks or so?
We really want to come to the States.
So you have to.
We're planning a tour. I think, you know, we're old enough now to leave home.
Yes, 20 years. You got to take them out of kindergarten.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You have to. Do you have anything like concrete planned or just kind of?
Not as yet. We're talking to Sesame Street because, you know, that's been a huge inspiration for Kinder Jazz, and we want to perform one of our songs on Sesame Street. So yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But they have so many programs here. Oh, my God. You have to let me know if you come here. You absolutely have to, because
definitely
we want to promote it on the show. Well, I want to thank you so much, Dr. Llewellyn, for coming on the show and exposing us to this wonderful group, Kinder Jazz, that's keeping music alive for children and inspiring and motivating so that we don't lose music. Please, everybody, go to the website, KinderJazz.com, also Kinder Jazz on Facebook and Kinder Jazz on Twitter. Follow them, give them a little thumb up, follow them, and most importantly, go to iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, and all of the sites and buy one of the little songs for your child or your niece or nephew or a child in general. It would be great to give a friend's child a gift, right? So you can never go wrong with the gift of music, right?
Absolutely. Spontaneity happens to be a human right.
That's right.
You know, it's what makes us human, and this is going to encourage all of that.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go I already have Baby Loves to Cha-Cha, but I'm going to go to iTunes now and check out some of your other songs so that I can give as an iTunes gift, because I got lots of friends who have kids. I'm going to give them as gifts. I'm gifting them, Christabel.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your story of Kinder Jazz with us. We really wish you the best of luck. Please come to the States and let me know before you come so we can promote you.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I can't wait.
Say goodbye to your fans, Christabel Llewellyn.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Question Reality. Happy Valentine's Day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.